Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hey, thanks, Phoebe and Toy. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. How are you today? It's unseasonably mild. Fierce mild. Very mild. Extremely mild. All the oxymorons you can think of. We usually get a couple of days like this in November because we always talk about oxymoron and saying it's very, very mild. It's extremely mild. Enjoy it while it's here. And get out for a walk. Get out for a walk and a bit of exercise if you can at all. Speaking of walks, I see that Captain Sir Tom Moore, he was the man who walked. Remember, he walked and walked and walked and raised millions before his 100th birthday. He's the oldest man ever to be on the cover of GQ magazine. As part of their GQ Men of the Year awards, he's put on the cover and he looks amazing. So well done to Sir Tom Moore. Isn't that the way time has been messed up with the pandemic? That happened this year. It didn't happen 3 years ago. Seems like an awful long time ago. And staying with covers of magazines, Harry Styles, him of One Direction, and now a very successful solo career, has created a stir with his cover of US Vogue magazine. He appears on the cover in a dress. Oh no, shock horror! And this lady called Candace Owens, who's a conservative, pro-Trump type person, she's been given out. She wants more manly men. She says, there is no society that can survive without strong men. And this is because Harry Styles, who's a fashion icon and would look well in a black plastic bag, is wearing a dress on the cover of Vogue magazine. She says, the East knows this. In the West, the steady feminization of our men at the same time that Marxism is being taught to our children is not a coincidence. It's an outright attack. Oh, God. Give us a break, will you? Give us a break. Isn't it great that he can get on in a dress and feel comfortable in it? I think he's an inspiration and a role model. I wouldn't be getting into a dress myself now. They just don't suit me. I have short, stubby, hairy legs, just so you know. Dresses don't suit me. So that's that. Nigella Lawson created a stir last night as well. Eating toast. Yes, eating toast. It's the two-stage approach to buttering toast. Now, I could describe what she said, but it's probably better that she would describe it herself. Here we go.
I favour the two-stage buttering approach. And so far, only stage one has taken place. And that's to say, the minute this came out of the toaster and still lovely and hot, I spread it with butter so that the butter has melted down into it and it'll give it a fabulous crumpety bite. Stage two now, ready for it. I need a little more butter and it will stay in some golden patches on the surface.
Yeah.
It's unsalted butter.
Of course.
Which I always prefer to use, but what I need to do is sprinkle some sea salt flakes over.
Sorry. She uses unsalted butter and then add salt. That's a bit mad. And it's a two-stage process. Now, I know people are fussy. I know people are fussy when it comes to toast. For example, I would go for the leave it get cold and put the butter on then approach. Other people, no, that's sacrilegious when it comes to toast. Put it straight on and let it melt. Well, there you have the compromise position put forward by Nigella Lawson. Do it both ways. Butter it when it comes out and then leave it to cool a little bit. Put some more butter on it and then put some salt on it. I always think that when Nigella Lawson, she needs a bit of music. You know, say, for example, you had her there. Say, for example, I played this. And then you played her.
I favour the two-stage buttering approach. And so far, only stage one has taken place. And that's to say, the minute this came out of the toaster and still lovely and hot, I spread it with butter so that the butter has melted down into it and it'll give it a fabulous crumpety bite. Stage two.
Enough, Nigella. Thank you very much. Enough. I see they've rejected. It wasn't in the news. I expected it to be in the news. The proposals brought to Cabinet to make it an offence for two or more people to gather outdoors where one of them is drinking alcohol has been rejected by the Cabinet. Stephen Donnelly has withdrawn a memo for Cabinet seeking to curtail the circumstances in which people can gather to drink alcohol. And that's on the back of the video footage from the centre of Dublin City from over the weekend. We were talking to Gabriel Byrne yesterday and we sort of ran out of time. It was a mad day yesterday because we were supposed to have him before four and then the technology let us down. Eventually we got him on after four. Anyway, I wanted to talk to him about his addiction to alcohol. He's been off the drink for 20 years. And I did put that question to him at the end, but we were running out of time. But he made some great points about, you know, the cultural sort of atmosphere and context for drink in this country. And we know we have an unhealthy relationship with drink. And I think what's happening now with the pandemic, it's shining a light on that. You know, like I think sometimes we're spending too much time debating whether pubs should be open or not open or whether you should drink outside or not drink outside and not, you know, concentrating on the serious things. Anyway, you should listen back to it because he says his, I think he said 300 times better. His life is 300 times better since he gave up the drink. And he talked about waking up in the morning without a hangover and knowing you had the whole day ahead of you without feeling sick and all of those things. Anyway, I think there's a lack of honesty when it comes to our discussions about pubs at the moment. And I know there are people sitting at home who are depending on the hospitality industry for their wages. And I do feel sorry for them. But we're not being honest because you can debate as long as you like on the radio during the day, sober, about the rules and the regulations. But the fact is that alcohol changes our behaviour. We become less inhibited. We're more likely to take risks. And as a result, the guidelines go out the window. So enough people aren't saying that and being honest about that. But there you go. That's what's happening. Now, calendars, more important things, calendars. We did this last year and it sort of got ahead of steam and a bit of momentum. And we started it last week. And I've five calendars in front of me today. So we'll give them a quick mention. I think we'll have to have a Calendar of the Year award. They're all charity calendars, like this one for Down Syndrome Cork. And there are just picture after picture, really cute pictures there from the people down in Down Syndrome in Cork. And that's, look at that one. That's just so cute. And well done to everybody there. And that's on sale now. So too is the Bandon Art Group. They've put together their talents, their artistic talents, and they're supporting St. Vincent de Paul down in Bandon in West Cork. And I see Evelyn Draper's picture there, and there's Sue Jacob and Frida Roycroft, all lovely paintings. And they're there in that, the Bandon Art Group calendar 2021. And Ray Flaherty is a priest in the Headford and Claren Parish over in County Galway. And he took to his bike during lockdown and somebody took pictures of all the shrines in the locality. And I think people got out and made religious shrines just for Father Ray. And he went out and he blessed the shrines and blessed homes. And he's put together a calendar in aid of the Headford and Claren Parish. And that's there as well. And this is a lovely one. Hilltop Sanctuary, a place where rescued animals come to heal. And it's in black and white. And there's Ellie, the donkeys there. See the way I said donkey and not donkey. Peaches and Maggie. That's a cat and a horse. And there's Christian Grey, the rabbit. And there's Ludine, Peaches, Mikey and Sammy. And there are two cats and two ponies. And they're all there. And that's a lovely one. That's Hilltop Sanctuary. Whereabouts is Hilltop Sanctuary, does it say? It's a lovely calendar. Anyway, I think I might bring that home. And keep them coming in. And we will. We'll have an awards before Christmas for the best charity calendar of 2021. Thanks for all of those. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. It's raining sideways in Kerry. Howling wind blowing too, says that person. And 14 degrees Celsius in Inishowen, Ray. Just heading out now for a walk in a misty kind of afternoon with the iPod, of course. I saw a man out walking this morning in a T-shirt. My wee grandson, Connor Brown, is with you, Ray, on toast. If I put it on when the toast is hot, he's not impressed because he says the butter has disappeared. Ah, a man after my own heart is Connor Brown. That's Cathy there. And Je T'aime, you should be playing with Nigella's voice, is Dermot. Francis and Thurles emailed in to say, I'm definitely with you. I love my toast crunchy and feel there is nothing worse than soggy toast. So you want to hear Nigella with Je T'aime. You see, I have to put it down here. Wait till I see if I can do this because I have to be able to control the volume. And there. So here we go. Let's try. That's a bit of Je T'aime there now.
I favour the two-stage buttering approach. And so far, only stage one has taken place. And that's to say...
you need an instrumental. You need an instrumental. Could you please get Dustin to do the flap-flops? We might get him to do it next week. Now, stop that there and let's tell you about the quiz of today. Today being the 17th of November, we have 10 questions about things that happened on this day over the years. We need two people to answer 5 questions each. And whoever gets most correct wins a prize. This week, it's a 2-night stay at the beautiful Riverview Room with breakfast and exploration picnic, the Ballinahinch Castle Hotel in Connemara. As part of the deal, you can choose from a Ballinahinch rucksack or bicycle basket filled with traditional sandwiches, goodies and refreshments. Ideal for those going on a hike, a wander through some of the spectacular 700 acres of the hotel's lush estate, or a cycle of the nearby Greenway, complete with blanket, basket, speaker and a deck of playing cards. I like the fact that they have a speaker in there. You can play your favourite playlist from Spotify as you enjoy the beautiful scenery of Connemara. Ballinahinchcastle.com. Ballinahinchcastle.com. If you want to win, you have to enter our quiz and you have to answer our qualifying question. It's an easy one today. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is back on our screens. Can you name the hosts of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. We need to know the hosts of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Thank you very much. 51551 RadioRT.ie. Good afternoon. Paddy Maloney, good afternoon.
Well, dear you, Harry, how are you doing yourself?
That's powerful stuff, that.
I tell you what, that was a flyer.
Yeah, it was a flyer. Were you in a hurry to get the bus or something when you were playing that?
The pints were going cold.
Wow, that's my favourite version of that. It's nearly punk. It's nearly punk rock there.
Yeah, if I had a wife to play me life. You know, I had somebody write those words as well, you know. And if I had a wife to play me life, tell you what I would do.
I'd find her a boat.
Put her in the boat and paddle me old canoe. Canoe.
Yeah, paddle me own canoe.
Disgraceful altogether.
Yeah, it is. But listen, there is the possibility that the Chieftains could be performing at Joe Biden's presidential inauguration if everything goes to plan.
Well, listen, that was a big story that got out in New York. And they came on to me, Ray, about it. You know, I won't mention the organisation, right. You know, but it did eventually get into the Sunday Mail.
But there is a connection. You've performed for him before.
Oh, yes, indeed. When he was here, you know, there was a big do at the Dublin Castle, you know, an outdoor, and he spoke. And he's a great man, you know.
Yeah.
And we played at that. But also we had a wonderful night up in Mayo, where, of course, all his relations and himself comes from, you know.
The Blewitts.
And that was in Matt's pub.
Matt Malloy's
bar,
In Westport.
We incidentally did a little bit of a promo for his election in Matt's pub, you know.
Right.
He had a few pipers play, and we did a special thing, sent tributes and that sort of stuff for him, you know. But he quoted us two or three years ago when he was with Barack Obama, you know, and as his favourite bands, you know, was Bruce Springsteen and the Chiefs.
Wow.
You know, so I mean that's how that all sort of
Have you ever worked with Bruce Springsteen? I know you've worked with the great, you know.
We haven't done music together,
right.
But I've been with him at the Grammys and things like that, you know.
Right.
And he came over to me. I didn't know who he was at the time. This is when it was held in New York many years ago, about 12 years ago. And he came over and we spoke and talked about it. And you know, he's not a million miles away from the stuff that we do, like the country album that we did. He did one too about 5-6 years ago.
Yes, I know it well. It was one of his songs were on when my daughter was born. They had it on in the delivery room. Yeah, from that. Remember he did it, it was live at the Point.
That's right. It was live at the Point.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeless for going to concerts, you know, when I get home.
So he said that you and Bruce Springsteen are his favourite acts. And I think he was asked if he was elected as president, what sort of music would he like at his inauguration? And I think he mentioned you too, did he?
He did, did, because, you know, there was a documentary there on from the bar, you know, and he was there and we played. It was a terrific night, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the inauguration, you know, would be something. All right, I'm getting millions of calls, even from Australia and Japan and places, and congratulate me.
All right, and I suppose we better get this straight now, Paddy, because if you were asked, what would you say?
I'd say yes, if it was all possible that I don't have to get on a funny aeroplane.
Oh, you'd have to do it virtually, would you?
Well, you know, down the line, you know, like from the people who have spoken to us from his office and that sort of thing, he has us in mind all the time.
Right.
And he's definitely going to come back here.
Okay, now, hold on. Now there's something you're not telling me there. So you don't want to get on a sort of a regular aeroplane, but if they sent a sort of a taxi over for you, so to speak,
that should go
then, would you?
Well, I think it's a bit, yes, I would, but I think it's a bit soon at the moment, you know, to take a chance on anything.
Right, okay.
Because we have to think of our families.
Yeah, of course.
I haven't left the house here since last March. You know, we had to cancel our New York concert at the townhouse. It was breaking, you know what I mean? In Boston, Boston Symphony. Oh my goodness, the two concerts
that you had to do in America,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yeah.
The Town Hall in New York and Symphony Hall Boston.
Right,
you know?
Right. How have you been passing the day? Are you playing music to yourself?
I'm doing sort of odds and pieces, but I'm not doing anything constructive at all. I mean, you know, the old pipes there, I look at them and, gosh, and I keep wondering, is the reed working? And I sent a message to my friend in the United States to send me a reed. He makes reeds for me, you know, for the pipes. But not doing an enormous amount. But at the same time, I take the yard walk now. I have my next-door neighbour here who knocks on the door every day, you know, say, you're coming for the walk. You know?
Oh, great. Well, that's very important, Paddy.
Very important.
And you have played for other American presidents, haven't you? Barack Obama and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I have a thing on the wall there to him, from him and Michelle, congratulating us and loving the music. It's also from Bill Clinton, of course. And then, of course, we played... we were the first band ever to play in Capitol Building for Tip O'Neill and Edward Kennedy. That was about, my God, 20 years ago, I think it was.
Right, so you're a big fan of Donald Trump, obviously, then.
Tears in my eyes.
You didn't get the invite from him. You probably
thank God. I stay out of politics as much as possible and religion. Yeah. I don't like to get into those things, but at the same time, my goodness, what an upset the whole
country.
But
it looks like you're voting with your feet there now. It's a democratic path you're walking there. Listen, they're doing all sorts of things now with virtual concerts and all, so you never know. Never know what could be possible. You could end up on a big screen inauguration day.
That's right. I did a little piece from the back garden here, and my dear wife, Rita, I drove her mad. I called her. she did a thing called The Garden of Daisies for me. But, you know, I said, oh, you're a brilliant director. She did it with her iPad. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, everything's possible. Ed in Cork wants to know, will you ever ask Paddy if he ever had a bad night playing?
A bad night playing? Not within the band, you know.
Yeah.
We've never lost one of them. But maybe there was one or two, you know, I remember a place in Belgium or someplace like that, that it was a bit of a disaster, you know. But it didn't stop us from performing, you know. Because if there's three people there, that's all that counts. I mean, we played to, when the Pope came, we played to 1.2 million.
Wow.
And we played on the Great Wall of China, 350,000 people, you know.
Jeez.
And the concerts recently have been fantastic. The group, I have wonderful young people playing with us, you know, Aileen McCormack and Trina Marshall and there's a whole bunch of them. And they're wonderful. We had one of the best tours. It was heartbreaking that we had to stop in Pittsburgh. That was the last one before we came home.
Because Frank Gillespie's been on. He says, you were very missed in Boston. Hope you get back next year, says Frank Gillespie.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So it's watch this space to see what happens with Joe Biden and the Chieftains.
Say that again.
Watch this space. So something might happen. We don't know yet.
You never know. Yeah. I mean, he loves it. Joe absolutely loves the band, loves the music. And he said, you know, many times, he had two tapes in his car. One was Bruce Springsteen, one was the Chieftains. he just adores the band and the music and the whole fun that we have, you know.
Brilliant.
And it's just so sad that this didn't happen, you know what I mean? God.
Listen, Paddy, you sound in great form. So keep out for the walk. That's very important. And we'll talk to you soon. If anything happens, you know where to call first.
I will, of course, okay. Greg. Yeah. Thanks. You've always been good. And listen, love your programme. Take care.
Thanks, Paddy. Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
RTE Radio 1. I met Paddy Maloney regularly, or I meet Paddy Maloney regularly in the Wicklow Heather restaurant in Lara. A pure gentleman. He probably is missing it as much as I am, says DSC. And I think there's a lot in what Gabriel Byrne suggested. Now is the country's opportunity to turn a cafe-style culture, serve coffee outside or Irish tapas, invest in heaters and cosy blankets on seats and have it all inclusive for all ages. Much more fun and healthier, yes, as opposed to drinking. Now, in studio with us is Lee O'Reilly. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Lee took a pretty novel approach to coming out. He announced it in a short video on Instagram. So a very modern way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think if we weren't in a lockdown, you would have done it differently? Or
I don't think so, because the main reason for doing it, well, there's loads of reasons, but one of the main reasons is I didn't want to repeat myself so many times to people. Do you know?
Because yes.
Like, people have this idea that gay is always feminine, and I don't see myself as really feminine or anything. So I don't want to be going out all the time and, you know, telling my friends, oh, I'm gay or I'm into him or I'm into that. I don't want it to be a surprise, right. Like, you know. But anyway, I wasn't.
So just one hit, tell everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't a surprise to everyone. Anyway, if you be made to
wasn't it? Hey, world, I like lads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So a few of your mates would have known.
Yeah, well, they didn't have said anything. So I didn't tell anyone for... So I probably knew since I was about 10 years old.
Right.
And I just put it off. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to do that. And I just put it off and I went with the normal thing. I went out with girls. I went to the discos. I done all that. And then I think when I was about 18, I didn't actually get into college the first time I wanted to go. I didn't get into the course that I wanted. And I was really upset about that. Anytime I was upset about something, it was like being gay was just another thing on top of that.
Right.
So I remember I was in Sam's in town and I had a few drinks, probably too many. And I got really sad. And I was with one of my friends. I just start bawling, crying, and I'm not an emotional person at all. I don't do that much, but everything just kind of hit me at once. And I told her, I was like, look, I felt this way for years. I haven't told anyone. And that was the first person I ever told. And I woke up the next day. I was like, oh my God, why did I tell her? I was like, so I texted her and I said, please don't tell anyone that. I said that to you last night. I was like, I'm not ready to talk about that. I don't know why it came out last night. And then 2 years on from then, I'm 20 now. And I decided to, you know, tell everybody. Yeah.
And she didn't tell anybody.
She didn't tell anyone.
Well, she's a good friend.
She's a great friend. Yeah. We're still really good friends at the moment. And yeah. I did text her a while ago and I just said, like, I don't know how you done that, like, you know. But thank you.
That's what friends do. Good friends do. So just to go back on, you know, I'm interested to know what was going through your head. So from the age of 10, so you carried this secret around for 10 years nearly. The guts of 10 years.
Mental, isn't it?
Yeah. Was it something you thought about every day?
Definitely something I thought about every week, and there'd be weeks where I'd think about it every day. Like, in one way, like I was just, I suppose my fear was not being accepted.
Right.
I always grew up with, like, very, like, straight males, mates, like, you know, just lads, like, and I went to a school where it was all boys. I went to a secondary school that was all boys as well. And, like, I just thought people wouldn't accept me or just... I'd be looked at differently, and it just panicked me to think about it. So I just avoided it.
Yeah. Completely. But you see, I suppose being a teenager and navigating through your adolescent years and your puberty and all that, that's tough enough on its own, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you're finding yourself and finding your identity in the world. Mm. And although we strive to be different. We want to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all your mates are there. You're in a boys' school. All this stuff's going on in your head, and you can't confide in anybody.
No, that was always the hardest thing. And I think how I got through that is, like, I'd count myself as very mentally strong, but I used to always tell myself, oh, it's going to be a good story to tell one day. Just keep it in. I can help someone else. I was like, I'm going through this for a reason. I'm very in, like, believing, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And as bad as things got, I just looked at it positively. I was like, just kept going. Now, saying that, now, there were some nights where I was so depressed, like, and that's what led up to the video, definitely. Like, there was loads of things. So I write down these little lists every now and again of what I want from my life. And I probably done one when I was in about fifth year. And I still have it. And I was looking at it. I found it in my room. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I have everything on this list right now. I've worked for everything. I'm doing my degree. I'm like, I've got my
team. So what was on the list then?
So on the list, I had so I want to get on the road. That's in progress now. And then I was never happy with my teeth. I wanted to get my teeth done.
Right.
I wanted to get into college. And I wanted to be in a relationship as well. Right. That one hasn't happened yet. But sorry. But so I worked up to get all that, and I got everything, and I just wasn't happy. And I was like I felt ungrateful. I was like, I have all these things, like, I'm so lucky to have all these things. Why am I still so sad? And then I ended up talking to this guy from Galway. And like, I felt really good talking to him. Like, I was like, this is nice. Like, why am I deprived?
How did you meet him?
He actually does TikTok videos.
Right. Okay.
And I remember I was scrolling through TikTok and I seen the video. I was like, oh, he's a beaut. Right. And then I clicked on it, and then I just gave him a creep. You know, and I was like,
what's a creep?
A creep is like a little stalk, like just having a little look.
All right.
But sorry, that sounds really strange, doesn't it? Yeah. But I saw that he was gay or whatever, and then I followed him, and then we got talking.
Right.
But yeah, so basically I thought that was nice. And I was like, I want that in my life.
And
so
did you come out to him?
I did, actually. When we were talking or whatever, we were talking, it's normal. I didn't tell him that I wasn't out until I came out.
But, oh, I see, right.
Yeah, I came out to my man, dad, on the 28th, just gone. I was in the bathroom, I was looking in the mirror, and I was like, oh, will I just go in and say it? I was like, right, I'm going to just do it. So I walked up there sitting on the sofa, and my mom had a glass of bread in her hand. I was like, right, it's a good opportunity.
Good time, yeah.
I was like, can I tell you something? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, I like lads. And they were like, oh, they didn't really know what to say straight away. And I was like, does that surprise you? And they were like, it doesn't completely surprise us, but I guess we weren't expecting it or whatever. And I was like, does that change anything? And they said, no, it doesn't change anything. And I was like, okay, grand, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You had your questions lined up. Does that surprise you? Does that change anything?
Yeah, that was enough information for me.
Right.
Then I ran upstairs, I put on a tracksuit, and my friend, my neighbour, actually, I always call her, but she was across the road, and I knocked on her door, and she came out, and I was like, come out. And there was a few neighbours out on the road at the time as well, so I didn't want to be telling everyone, like, you know. So I was like, Chloe, come here, come on. And she was like, what is it? And all she started panicking. I was like, just come around the corner. And then I told her, right, look, I just came out to my aunt, that, I'm this, I'm that. And she was like, oh, I'm delighted for you. And she started screaming and all. And then I sat down with her for a while, and we had a little chat.
Yeah.
But
and was she surprised?
Was she surprised? So, she was and she wasn't. Like, it's actually kind of funny because I know her through work. And when I started working up there, I always thought she fancied me. And I was like, oh, I tried to stay away from that because I stopped going out with women, I'd say, in the last like year and a half or so, because like I'm really respectful and I just like I'm not committing to that person, and yes, I just don't want to disrespect someone like
even though
no one knows.
Yeah.
But it's just, so I just was like staying away from that. So if I got any idea that a girl would fancy her, I'd be legging it quick.
I'm interested though, because, you know, commentators say that you know, we have made leaps and bounds in Ireland when it comes to homosexuality. Like, it was the Homosexual Act was criminal until 1993. That's pretty recently. And then we voted for gay marriage, same-sex marriage. And you would think that if you were following all that, which you probably were,
you
would think, well, this is okay. It's okay to come out. I'm in a sort of an environment where people accept being gay.
Yes and no. So, like, it's amazing that that came out. And I couldn't imagine being alive, like, 30 years ago and feeling like this now, because it was hard enough for me now. But like, it's in the question. Like, people were still voting no. Like, there still is people that disagree with that. And that's what I was always worried about as well. Like, I have a great support system that I didn't know I had, but my granddad is 63 and he typed this lovely message under my video supporting me and saying it doesn't change anything and saying he had more respect for me. And that was heartwarming. But then his mother, my great nanny,
right,
she's 83 and I have a really close relationship with her. Like, she's such a lady, like she's a great laugh. But I was always worried because her father actually disowned one of his kids for being gay.
Oh, right.
And so it's a whole different time.
That was
back then.
Completely different time.
Different time, yeah. But no one in the family was allowed to talk to him. That was it. And he was cut off. So I was always afraid she might have that look as well. Now, unfortunately, with COVID and everything, I haven't seen her, but I have FaceTimed her and my mum looks after her a little bit. So she gets to go up to the house and she told her and she was absolutely delighted for me and she didn't change anything at all.
Right.
Like, she was actually, she just completely changed the conversation. She was like, "And how's his tea?" She went to the CBC. Like, but it's crazy because then I have my other nanny on my dad's side, the family. And I thought this was really nice. My mom was like to my dad, I thought this was nice to see a protective side of my mom. She was like, "You go down there and you tell your nanny, you educate her because I don't want her saying the wrong thing to Lee and upsetting him." And right, that was heartwarming for me. I thought that was really nice.
Well, she said to your dad, to go
my
down
dad,
and educate
to,
his
to
mother.
Educate
yes,
her,
yes,
yeah.
yes, yes, yes.
Because she's you know, from a different time as well. Right. She's 73. But my dad went down and told her anyway. And it actually turned into a funny story then. She was like, "Oh, how did you find out? Was it a blood test?" A blood
See,
test.
There you go. Yeah, so there is still ignorance around homosexuality,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's lack of education, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
So talk to me about the feeling when you made the video, you edited it because it's edited. It's three minutes long. When you press the send button or whatever button you send, how did that feel?
So I actually done two videos, right? So that on the 29th, I made a video and I wrote everything down that I wanted to say. And I done a video. I was like, "Oh my God, this is so fake. Like, it's not me." I was like, "I'm reading from a piece of paper." And I went to bed that night. I was
a
like,
prepared statement.
Yeah, a prepared statement.
From
listen
Lee,
up.
From Lee O'Reilly.
Just a message here from the LGBT. Yeah. But so I scribbled up the piece of paper and I was like, "Right, I'm not going to read from that. I'm just going to read from my heart." And then the next day I got up and I took the video and I've only stopped the video twice. So it's two separate videos put together. And it was perfect when I watched it back. I was like, "Right, I'm happy with that." But I done it at 4 o'clock on that day. And there was a reason for that. But I had met up with my friend, Chloe and Hannah. And because I wanted them to be around me when I put it up. So they live in my estate as well. And I was like back in nerves and I was so rude to them as well because they were talking about other things and stuff and I put it up and I was like, "No, I can't listen to anything that's not this because I'm freaked." Like,
right,
like me at that moment in time, I was like, "I don't know what reaction I'm going to get. Yeah. I don't know if people are going to be okay." And I was just scared. Like,
it's a huge thing, a secret that you have kept for 10 years.
Yeah.
And now in the most dramatic of ways, you're telling the world.
Yeah, I think that's a bit my personality added on to that as
well.
Quite
a bit of drama.
Yeah.
Like a bit of drama, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was, out to the world. What happened next?
So I got over 600 messages, which, wow, like I didn't even know where to start with that. I replied to every message individually and different because I was so grateful for every bit of support.
What were people saying?
People were saying, "Oh my God, like, congratulations and all. I'm so sorry you feel like this. I was crying watching your video and all. You're going to help so many people." Which brings me into another thing. I recently just got a rescue dog, right? She's gorgeous. And I had her down the park the other day. And a girl that I like half kind of know came up to me and she was like, "Oh my God, I seen your video on Instagram. Well done. It actually inspired me to come out to my man, Dad."
Right.
She was like, "I just came out to my man, Dad." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm delighted for you. How did it go?" So it went absolutely awful.
Right.
I was like, "I'm so sorry." And she was like, no, it's getting better and I'm happy I done it." And I was like, I had that impression. I made someone feel like that.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
and it won't be, you know, it won't be perfect for everybody.
No.
You very understanding parents.
Yes. And like, I was always worried that they weren't going to be, which is stupid. But
and have you got other brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a brother, an older brother.
Right.
And that's it. Just the two of us.
Yeah.
I actually didn't tell him. I just let him watch the video. I was like, it's so awkward. I really didn't like, I didn't, the video was like to tell everyone at once, so I didn't have to have that individual conversation. And my brother, like, we get on well, but we're complete opposites. And I was just like, oh, so I didn't tell him. I just put up the video, and I'm sure my man dad probably told him before, but, and he put up a lovely post and he said, you know, like, you're a family or whatever, I always support you, everything doesn't change anything. And that was really nice too. And
So it's in the last, 3 weeks, you have changed your life. So
yes.
How does the Lee O'Reilly from 3 weeks ago differ to the Lee O'Reilly today sitting in front of me?
Well, I think I'm definitely on a journey and I'm figuring out what I want right now. And like, that's a lot of things. But I don't know, sometimes I'm going to bed and I'm like, oh my God, why did I do that? But I'm like, no, I don't know, for a good reason, because things are going to get better. 2021 is going to get better. I do look forward to like when we go into another level where pubs and things are open and I go out more on the social and I see people that I actually know. Like, I feel like I'm going out as a different person.
Yeah.
So I look forward to sharing that side of me with my friends and family.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody recently who's gay, and they say that they continually have to come out.
Yes.
You know, sitting in a barber's chair and the barber says, you know, you got a girlfriend, and you know, you have to come out to him in a taxi. You're going out to meet the girlfriend. You have to come, you know. So it's an ongoing thing. Just because you put it up on Instagram doesn't mean it's over. It's over with.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's another great example. I work in hospitality, and if I was serving someone and they were coming in for dinner, like if it was a boy and a girl or two women or two men or anything, like I never just presume anything because it is wrong. Like if, you know, one's waiting for, oh, are you waiting on your partner? Are you waiting on this?
Aye.
Like, you should be careful how you go about it, because it is rude when you don't know. Because not everyone, people think you have to look gay to be gay. You don't.
No, I know exactly what that man went through. I came out last year and hid it for 40 years, says Pat.
40 years.
Imagine that.
Well, I'm delighted you're out now, Patrick. Yeah. That's
Well done to Lee. Great that his friends are there for him. We all need friends. I'm very happy for him, says Frank. And delighted for Lee. He sounds so happy. Good for him. I think that's not patronising. It's a good way. And this guy sounds really nice and down to earth. His parents should be very proud of him, says another Ray.
That's lovely.
So, very exciting. This is the year of the pandemic and the year that you came out.
Absolutely.
You'll never forget 2020.
Oh, definitely not. There's definitely some positives in it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks so much for coming in.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
Are you going to have a coming out party when we get to a different level?
I'd say I'll have a few parties. Yeah, right. Definitely a holiday too, eventually.
Okay. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hey, there you go. On the line we have Dr. Coleman Nocter, child and adolescent psychotherapist. How are you doing, Coleman?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. I was just talking to Lee before he left and I forgot to ask him for advice for people who want to come out on air, but he said that his advice would be when you were ready. Do you deal with teenagers in your work who are grappling with their sexuality?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very regular occurrence for young people who might be struggling with, you know, in terms of they have a knowledge themselves, but it's probably finding an avenue to communicate that. That's oftentimes the challenge. And I think he's right. I mean, there is a degree of readiness that you need for that. But and I just heard the end of your conversation there. I mean, we have come a long way in terms of as a nation, but there's still that kind of disgruntled minority that creates difficulty for young people. So I think it's still a challenge. There's no doubt it takes a great deal of bravery. And hopefully we get to a time where you don't have to come out at all.
Yes.
But I mean, we're making strides for sure. And absolutely, we've become so progressive in that way. But that doesn't mean it's not still a challenge for lots of young people. And again, with families, and I heard him talking about grannies and granddads and extended family and things like that, it you know, there'll always be some who will be very accepting of it. And then there might be others who are less accepting and challenge it a bit. But again, I heard his response to his parents were really good, and how his mum sent his dad down to his granny. I love that bit. it's a lot better than it was, but it can still be a lot better than it is, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does make complete sense. These came into Ray d'Arcy for you. My 8-year-old keeps asking me about Christmas. He's really fretting about it. My parents live down the country and I honestly don't know if we will get to see them this year. So I don't know what to say to him anytime he asks. Could your expert give any advice on how I can manage his expectations, please?
Yeah, this is a difficult one. And again, we always talk about the uncertainty of this time. And again, we can't make promises at the moment because we don't know what Christmas is going to look like. But I'm hearing this so much, and I don't know if it's because there's a certain ad on TV that's kind of pulling at people's heartstrings around this
super
bit.
Super value ad, yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of clued into a kind of a national mood of anxiety a little bit about that, or sadness about it. And, you know, the idea that all you can say is that we're going to do our best to make it happen, and that the child knows that it won't be for anyone else's kind of lack of effort, that if it doesn't happen, it'll be because it can't happen, you know, in that sense. And just reassure them that everyone is trying their best. And, you know, this is why we're doing all the restrictions and things now, is to make sure that we can have a Christmas, and that, you know, that everyone's doing their part and make a collective bit. But you can't guarantee that you will see Grandad at Christmas. But do you know what I'm struck by, Ray, is, you know, a lot of the teenagers and disgruntled teenagers, you're asking them a lot about, you know, how you put out by COVID, and you'd expect them to say, oh, I don't have my nights out, my parties. There's a lot of them saying, I just can't hug my granddad. And there's a kind of a, you know, a real sense of that. And from grandparents themselves, I mean, this really struggle. I mean, I was talking to somebody recently, and they were kind of saying, like, the quality of life when you can't contact your children. And look, someone said, you know, I prefer to live for 6 months than survive for 12. Do you know what I mean? From the point of view of that piece. But look, it's really hard.
I think the important thing is, and I say it over and over again, it will pass. And we're getting closer to that time when it will have passed.
Yes.
And it is just one Christmas. And you could say to your children, what I would be saying is, it's just a day. And we can do all that in June or whenever it is that, you know, the whole thing is solved, you know.
And of course, absolutely, you're right. But I think there's something about Christmas, Ray, that it's ritualistic. So each time it comes around, it's more or less the same as it was before. And what it does is it amplifies loss. You know, if there's somebody missing at the table, when they're missing from the ritual, it just feels different. And I think, you know, because people have had a tough 2020, maybe Christmas is that, it does mean a little bit more this year. But you're absolutely right. There's green shoots, or there's hope, and there's glimmers of hope around vaccines, and we need to focus on that and try and hold tight. And we'll get through it. We always will, and we'll get through it together. But it's about just reassuring children that you're going to do everything they can, or you can, to make sure it's as good a Christmas as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Coleman, I found cigarettes in my 13-year-old daughter's school bag. I thought I smelled smoke from her coat a couple of weeks ago, but said nothing. I've always tried to put her off smoking. We are not a smoking house at all. How do I confront her about it? I need her to stop if she has started smoking.
Yeah, well, you do confront her about it, absolutely. I mean, I think from the point of view of, again, it's a calm and measured approach where you're trying to kind of sit down and chat to her about, you know, the lung cancer health stuff doesn't tend to hit home with children, you know, so it's more about the cost and, you know, how much money you're going to spend over your lifetime with this stuff. But, you know, understanding kind of peer pressure and all that, but you do have to be firm on this. This is, it's not about giving her what she wants at the moment, it's about giving her what she needs. And, you know, I'd be just very clear that this is a non-runner and she needs to stop straight away. I mean, she's 13 years of age, so yeah.
So if the lung cancer message doesn't, you know, ring home, what does?
I mean, I think the idea, like, if we could make, I think we have made strides in smoking, making it uncool. Do you know what I mean? From the point of view of, I think there is an element of that. And, you know, it's disgruntling, or it's discommoding to be a smoker now. Yes. And I think that probably has helped as well. But, you know,
bad for your skin.
Yeah. Anything that's more immediate and gratifying. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's, as Billy Connolly says, you want to give something up when it's on your own terms rather than when you're told you have to. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
But I just think for adolescents, like, disposable income is a huge issue. Right, these are becoming more and more expensive. And
you don't smoke. Why did you decide not to smoke?
You talking to me?
Yeah, talking to you, yeah.
I do smoke.
But, you do smoke? Right.
But I'm a vapor. You're a vapor. Now, but.
No, the reason I asked you, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Coleman. The reason I asked you was that, like, when I was I was 8 or 9, my grandmother died of lung cancer because of smoking. She was like 54 and 5.5 stone. And that hit home with me. And that was it. I was never going to smoke. Now that isn't going to happen to everybody, but if there was somebody they were close to who has smoked and it affected their health, that might be a way of doing it as well. Maybe, no?
Possibly. I'll be honest and I'll be transparent here, Ray. I've had three uncles on my mother's side who all died from smoking related illnesses, and you know,
didn't affect you.
coming, you know, from the point of view, I think it's useful. I mean, people are listening a lot to people like myself coming on the airways and saying, you know, this is how you do it. We all have our vices and we all struggle. Yes. That's a very, you know, normal part of life. I think there's maybe some reassurance to think that the likes of me coming on air still have our own demons that we're trying to tackle and, yes, and manage. And look, it's part of life. And you know, I'm still trying to give up, so I don't think I've failed. But it's just taking longer than hoped.
Yeah. And you were saying the price as well, like they're nearly €15 for 20 now, aren't they? So that's a lot of
massive
cash.
I mean, I could be living in a very nicer house if I wasn't a smoker, you know.
But there you come on to yourself, will you, for God's sake? No, I'm joking. I think that's all we've time for. There is one more, but we don't have time, so I don't want to
rush.
Can
I just say one thing? Yes. Ray, one of the best things about the COVID is the return of the den. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And we needed something in Irish family life to gather around the telly, right, for something other than an announcement from the Taoiseach. And just, it's been brilliant. And thanks very much to you and the guys. Doing a brilliant job.
Thank you very much. Yeah, just it's complete distraction. Complete distraction. Because there's no sense of reality there at all. Colm, you're very kind. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you soon.
All the best.
Thanks, Colm. Thank you. Right, we've another commercial break today.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I always tell my kids the truth that smoking will make their skin grey and as wrinkled as a cat's bum. The image really captures their attention, says that person. And I hope you and yours are well. The best ever toast. This is back to Nigella Lawson. The toast and tea you get in hospital after 32 hours of labour, says that person. A lot of people say that. And 'twas lovely to hear Paddy Maloney. My husband and I used to clean his windows, and I used to love when we stopped for a coffee and sat around his kitchen table with him, usually eating the homemade flapjacks I'd taken with us, listening to all his tales and experiences. He's such a genuine gentleman and a lovely person, says Margaret. There you go. Anishtha Shanaun, Fib Skelton, and Nogtale, Kieran O'Farda. Good Margaret, Kieran, thank you very much. That's Kieran O'Farda. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Now, just I want to throw something out here. It's for runners who are listening today. And I know that runners all over the country have been deprived of events during 2020, and it looks like it's not going to get much better next year. Like, I wouldn't know, nobody would know if the Dublin City Marathon, for example, is going to be on next year. So we've come up with a mad idea, something you can be involved in, something you can aim towards, a big challenge, and you can raise money for charity at the same time. So I'm going to throw this out, see what you think. It's a marathon a week for a year. I know, but I reckon that people who are walking and running at the moment are probably doing that. So a marathon is 26 miles. So break it down. If you're walking 6 days a week and you're doing 4 miles or 4.5 miles each day, you're covering a marathon in a week. So that's all we're asking of you. And then you have to sign up for a year to do it every week for a year. How would you feel about that? And I know from my experience in the morning, like I'm out in the morning running around and I meet the same people every day. So I meet about 7 people, the same people every day, and that's at one particular time. So I'm sure there are other 7 people. And then if you multiply that with all the people all over the country who are doing that, you have a lot of people. You have a lot of people who at the moment, before they even think about it, are covering 26 miles in a week, whether walking or running. Now, what I'm asking you to do, or we're asking you to do, is to sort of formalise that, commit to doing it for a year, and to raise money for charity. So what do you think about that? A marathon a week for a year. It's lovely, it rolls off the tongue. What are you doing there? I'm doing a marathon a week for the year. Oh, you're a great man or woman. Look at you. What are you doing it for? I'm raising money for charity, for Laura Lynn, the best charity in Ireland. Oh, great, great. How much do you want from me? Sure, give us a fiver there for this week. And then if you had a fiver every week and you did it for 52, what's that, €260? Then if you got 1,000 people doing then, you're up to a quarter of a million. If you got 2,000 people doing it, you're up to half a million. So anyway, I'm just throwing it out there. See what you think. Tell your running friends. Ask them if they'd like to be involved. It's a big challenge, but it's a very doable challenge. And it's one that you'd be very proud of if you manage to achieve it at the end. So that's it. A marathon a week for a year in aid of Laura Lynn. You'll be hearing more about that. Now, it's our quiz of today. Today being the 17th of November, we've cobbled together 10 questions of the big events over the years, and we have a prize to give away. And the prize is a 2-night stay in a beautiful Riverview room with breakfast and exploration picnic in the Ballinahinch Castle Hotel. And they have loads of things to be doing around there, fly fishing and cycling and hiking and all sorts of things. Ballinahinchcastle.com for more details. Fighting for it today, or competing for it today, I should say, we have Mary MacDonald in Killala in Mayo. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Ray.
Good to talk to you. What's the weather like in the West?
Oh, absolutely miserable.
Oh, is it?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it must really annoy you when people like me get on and go, it's a beautiful day, it's lovely and mild.
It is. Yeah. It's very annoying to hear that in the radio.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
It's usually raining here.
Yeah. What are you up to?
Just after having dinner now with the kids after school. So
that was an early dinner. What'd you have?
Oh, yeah, we always have early dinner.
Do you?
Chops and spuds and carrots.
Right. Pork chops? Lamb chops.
Lamb chops,
nice.
Yummy, yeah.
Was there a bit of mint sauce with that or no?
No, we're not that fancy now during the week.
Who else is in the family?
There's three kids, Annie, who's 12, James, who's 9, and Caitlin, who's just 3.
Right, and she's not at school yet?
Of course. No, she's not at school yet, no.
Yeah,
no, right. She's...
And they all ate their chops and carrots and potatoes.
They love their grub.
Yeah. You're up against Liz McCabe from Ballytor in County Kildare. How are you doing, Liz?
Hiya, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Is Ballytor the Quaker place?
Yes.
It is.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's a Quaker meeting house?
There is.
And there's a big... Go on.
Yeah. It was... Well, I don't know. Are they still using it? The Quakers did meet once a week. I presume now with COVID, they're probably not.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a connection with Shackleton, is there? Am I asking you too many history questions here?
Shackleton would have a link. I think, was he originally from around Castledermot? He's some link with around here, kind of a tie.
Yes.
Castledermot.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Ballytor, yeah.
You're in between a tie and Castledermot there, Ballytor, aren't you?
We'd be... Yeah, we would... Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know where you are, Liz?
Kind of. I'm here.
You're here, yes. That's all I need to know, Ray. I'm just here. So what's the weather like in Ballytor?
It's not bad. It was lovely now this morning. It's very mild and a bit breezy, but it's dry so far, but I think the rain is on the way.
Okay.
Anyway,
it's a chance to go out for a walk?
I did. I was out with Paddy and Lucy this morning. Paddy and Lucy are greyhounds. So, yeah.
Are they rescue dogs?
They're ex-racing dogs. We would have owned them when they were racing.
Oh, did you? Right.
So, so they've retired and they have a great life, believe me.
Yeah.
And couch potatoes.
And loads. Do they get out for a run? Would they run around the field now? Or
You wouldn't. You could let them out in the field, but the problem is that if they saw something,
they
would keep going, and they could run into barbed wire.
All right, right. So you have to keep them on a leash.
Actually, we were out one of the days last week now, and just walking along, and next thing I could feel the leads tightening, and hair just literally ran out one gate and across. So if they were off lead now, they'd be gone.
They were back in Shelburne.
Paddy loved Shelburne.
Okay. Great prize this week, Ballinahinch Castle. 5 questions each, Mary and Liz. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If we're a draw at the end of the 5 questions, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both.
Good luck, Mary. Good luck, Liz.
Okay, and we go to you, Mary, first. Your first question is this. On this day in 1869, the Suez Canal in Egypt opened, linking the Mediterranean and the Red Seas. On what continent is Egypt?
Africa.
Is the correct answer. Liz, on this day in 1967, French author Régis Debray was sentenced to 30 years prison in Bolivia. On what continent is Bolivia?
South America.
Is the correct answer. Mary, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
I am the Princess of Wales. I come as the King's servant and with his authority.
To do what?
To discuss the King's proposals. Will you speak with a woman?
Okay, on this day in 1966, Sophie Marceau, French actress, was born in Paris. She played Princess Isabel in that film you heard a clip from. Can you name the film?
Oh, God, no.
No?
No.
Braveheart.
Oh, God.
Isn't she Bob Geldof's partner? Sophie Marceau. Oh, I think she is. I think she is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still early days. No need to fret, Mary. Liz, yours is an audio as well. Have a listen to this.
It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how?
Okay, on this day in 1942, the American film director who directed Raging Bull, Taxi Driver and Goodfellas, which you just heard there, was born in New York. Can you name him?
The director.
Yes.
Martin Scorsese?
It's the correct answer, yes. And he directed The Irishman recently as well. So you're on two. Mary, you're on one. Question number three for you. On this day in 1933, the Marx Brothers film Duck Soup was released in the US. How many members of the Marx Brothers featured in the film? Two, three or four?
Three.
Four.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Groucho, Harpo, Chico and Zeppo. There you go. I would have said three as well. Okay, Liz, your question. On this day in 1967, Davy Jones of the Monkees opened a boutique in Greenwich Village, New York. How many members of the Monkees were there? Four, five or six?
Five.
Four.
Oh.
Peter Tork, Mickey DeLence, Mike Nesmith and Davy Jones. Right, so you're on two, Mary, you're on one. There's a chink of light there for you. Your next one is an audio. Have a listen to this. Radio. So, on this day in 1998, that singer released My Love Is Your Love. Can you name her?
Christina Aguilera, no, I don't think so.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, let's see. The way it is, Mary, if Liz gets this right, you can't catch her.
Yeah.
Okay, right, let's see how we go then. It's an audio one for you. Have a listen. Now, on this day in 2003, that singer at 21 years old became the youngest singer to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Can you name her?
Britney Spears.
There you go. Mary, to use the words of the late and great Larry Gogan, they didn't suit you today.
Thanks, Mary. Hard luck.
Yeah. We're sending you out a Ray D'Arcy Show mug.
Lovely.
And in case you meet Bob Geldof and you say Sophie Marceau is your partner, don't say it because it's not. It's Jeanne Marin, who was also in Braveheart. That's who is. That was the confusion there. My confusion. So there you go. Okay. Mary, lovely talking to you. Mind yourself.
You too.
See you. Bye. 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 Liz McCabe from Ballytor. You're off to Ballinahinch Castle Hotel when everything gets some sort of normal again.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
It sounds like you're going to have a beautiful time there. A lovely time.
Yes, I will.
Well done, Liz. Mind yourself. See you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 515 on ray@rte.ie. We were chatting to Lee earlier about a story of coming out, and if you're in need of support around coming out, there's help available. A number of contacts are on rte.ie/helplines, or you can go to belongto.org. Or the LGBTPT helpline is 1819-929-539. That's 1819-929-539. And somebody else has been on looking to find out where they can get the Headford calendar. And I don't mean to be smart, but the answer is Headford. It's the Headford and Claren Parish calendar. And Father Ray put it together. So you'd have to travel or write him a letter or something like that. And all the pictures are taken by another Ray, Ray Ryan from the Tuam Herald. Now, Nevin Maguire, after this. There he goes, off into the distance. Edward Sharp and his Magnetic Zeros and Home on RTE Radio 1. 515 on ray@rte.ie. Now, between now and Christmas, Nevin Maguire will be here every Tuesday around this time to help out with your Christmas cooking conundrums. We do like a little bit of alliteration around here. Maybe the turkey was dry last year and you want to redeem yourself, or perhaps your roasties lack that delicious crunch. It could be that you're making the dinner this year for the first time. Or you simply want to outdo what you did last year. So, Nevin will be here every Tuesday from now till Christmas, around this time, This week, he's here to share his Christmas cake secrets, and he's on the line. Hello, Nevin.
Hello, Ray. How are you today? Are you well?
I'm good.
Good man.
Spotted you on the cover of the RT Guide.
Again. No jokes, please.
No, but you must have enough to wallpaper a big room, a fair-sized room at this
stage. Well, we started off at the front living room, and now we're working up to the sunroom, so we're getting there. That'd be very good, you know. That'd be very good to me.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Great to talk to you.
And you too.
And thanks, you sent us down the Nevin's midweek meals. And people are doing a lot more cooking at home now, aren't they, because of lockdown?
It's been brilliant. That's one good thing that's going to come out of the whole situation we're in, is that people are cooking and baking at home. And there's something very special about that, cooking from scratch at home and enjoying food and knows what, you know, when you know what goes into your food, you'll enjoy it more. People have the time. And when you think of it, Ray, the meal is the main event of the day now for most people. In our house, it certainly is. We're thinking, what will we have for dinner? So it's great. So, yeah.
No, but even we have two people on the quiz every day, and nearly always there's a brief chat about what's for dinner. Like Mary there, she had lamb chops with potatoes and carrots there just before she spoke to us.
Because she said an early dinner.
Yeah, that's what I said to her. That's a very early dinner, isn't it? What I forgot to ask was, what are you going to do for the rest of the evening? Anyway, what time would you have dinner in your house now?
Imelda actually made some lovely minestrone soup yesterday, so we had that today with some sourdough bread. And we'll have dinner probably at 6:30 or 7:00 this evening. So,
what's on the menu?
I'm doing a salad of spicy chicken. It's an old classic and the twins love it.
Do they? Yeah.
So we're doing that. Yeah, it's done with a tomato and mango salsa. So Imelda's doing that. So Imelda's got into the cooking and baking and that. So it's a real team effort here. So it is. So
it must be tough baking for you, though. Like, there's the man who's, you know, all
Ray,
those books.
If I went to your house and you offered me a ham sandwich, I'd love you forever. You know, I'm a man of simple pleasures. Don't be worrying about that. No, not at all. It's great. It's great to get something handed to you. You just sit down, you just enjoy it. And that's really important.
Now, before we get to the Christmas cake and the Christmas pudding, how are things? I read in the RT Guide that you've cancelled 3,000 bookings in 2020.
Yeah, I just feel for the reservations team because, it's been a really difficult year for everybody and everyone. And, you know, people would have booked, you know, a year or 2 years ahead. So it's trying to get them in again. You know, we don't know if we can open the first week of December. It's been really challenging to be through for which. One thing that's kept me going is the food and the videos and different things like that. But the restaurant, it's definitely like we still have three people in reservations and they're there Monday to Friday. So people are obviously getting vouchers. I've never sold as many books, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah, well, that's good. And what about your staff? How do you keep in touch with them and make sure they're okay?
I suppose when we reopened in the 1st of July, we had 55 staff back. We had 75. So we were doing 50% less covers. So we weren't doing two sit-ins. We were doing about 52, 53 people was the max we did. Right. So we had the 2 metres for every table. We got into a fantastic system and a new way of working, and the staff were working 4 days and everyone was happy and our customers felt really safe that's really important. So when we hopefully do reopen, we'll just slip back into that. There'll be no more two sit-ins. We'll just keep it as we had it. It was less stressful. It was a really great experience for the guests, and you know, hopefully we'll get back up and running. Of course I do keep in contact with the team. It's been difficult, and I have to say and compliment the government. Like, they've done as much as they can. It's a no-win situation for them. You know, they're obviously on the puck payment, you know, a lot of the staff, and because we must remember we have staff from Northern Ireland too, so from Fermanagh and that, so the whole catchment area, so like it's huge employment. So hopefully when we get back up and running in December sometime, I don't know when, but fingers crossed we'll be okay.
Difficult for everybody. Okay.
Yeah, at least Ray, the way I look at it just is that when we reopen, we'll have jobs to go back to and we'll have bookings in place, and that's, I'm positive it is difficult and I don't want to be, everyone is struggling, as you know, but we'll be okay. We'll get through it, please God.
Okay. I think I'm going to cook my first Christmas cake.
Go on.
So there are people. Is this the time to do it? Is it this early?
Definitely, if you could do it maybe a minimum of 4 weeks before Christmas. It just matures, it just gets better flavour, so it does. And like the two recipes we're going to talk about was from my Auntie Maureen. Like, she's a retired home economics teacher from Ballymahon. So these are the recipes that we've made and that she's handed down. And I suppose a lot of your listeners will have recipes handed down from their grandmother, their mother. There's something very unique and special about that. The Christmas cake, listen, good luck with that. I hope you're going to make my recipe. And the key is getting really good quality quality fruits if you can. This will be an 8-inch cake tin, so if you can get it made in the next few days or over the next week. I think I heard you talking on your show recently about feeding the cake.
And we're putting Nevin's recipes up on our website.
Perfect.
As you would expect. Yeah, somebody was asking about feeding a pudding or a cake the other day, and another one came in today. It could be the same person, Pat. I've made Nevin's Christmas puddings, his family recipe, for some years now, and they're really the best. However, this year I made them in mid-October. Just wondering now if that was too soon and if they might need feeding with alcohol. Will you explain the feeding process?
Yeah, so the feeding is, especially for the cake, not for the puddings. The puddings don't need feeding because they should be really moist, because you must remember with the pudding, you've pre-soaked your fruits overnight. You know, you've made up the mixture, so it's absorbed all that lovely kind of Guinness, and we use a bit of rum in ours too, which is beautiful. So for the cake, when it's baked, you wrap it in some greaseproof paper, or what I prefer, Ray, to be honest with you, for your listeners, is some parchment paper. It's a non-stick silicone paper. It's brilliant. And then what you do is unwrap it, say, once a week, put a couple of tablespoons of whiskey over it, and that will just feed into it. You can put, with a cocktail stick, you're laughing there, with a cocktail stick, you can put a little kind of holes into it, and that will absorb it. But usually you do that when the cake is warm, so that the whiskey goes straight into it. Because remember, the fruit and the fruit cake is like a sponge. So when it comes out of the oven, it's warm, it'll absorb that all that lovely whiskey and then feed it. Now, you can use whiskey or brandy, or you can use boat.
So once a week up until Christmas?
I would do that once a week. Like, when you think about Christmas, what is five, 6 weeks away? It's not that long away.
No.
So I would definitely do that. I'm not talking about, you know, half a pint of whiskey. Just a tablespoon or two will make a huge difference. And storing it is really important, Ray, that you store it in an airtight container, parchment paper, and then tin foil. So you're keeping it really moist. You don't have to decorate it until a week before Christmas. Or some people don't like the marzipan icing or the fondant. I don't know if you're a fan. Are you a fan of Christmas cake, Ray?
Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah, but I could take or leave the... You know, the icing part of it.
Yeah. I would agree with you. And I mean, like, I recently done something. I was kind of doing my first kind of Zoom cook along, and it was actually for the Irish Embassy in Denmark and Sweden for Halloween. And I done a barn brack, but it was like an Irish tea bread I did. So we soaked those lovely fruits in some tea and some whiskey and that. And it was amazing. Like, people baked it and enjoyed it. So a fruit cake is lovely any time of the year.
Yes, yeah.
What makes it extra special at Christmas is, of course, the icing. I'm kind of like you, I just like it naturally. On its own, with that lovely flavours from the spices, cinnamon and nutmeg is a great, they're two great kind of ingredients
and
to use in your cake.
And that gives that Christmas smell as well when you cook those.
Yeah, there's nothing nicer like the smell of bacon, you know, throughout the day. You know, like, it takes, well, for my recipe, it takes about two and a half hours to bake it. Like, I've given you a temperature of 160, so, you know, you must remember that every oven is different, so this will still work in 140,
now,
150.
Is that a fan assisted or
yes,
a normal?
Yes, that is a fan. That is. All my recipes are always done in fan ovens.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, you mentioned at the very top, the important thing is to get good quality dried fruit. How do you know it's good quality?
Well, that it's the jumbo kind of sultanas, that's the key.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we buy of a gentleman, he's based in Nina, Country Choice, Peter Ward. So we have our puddings made. My auntie makes the Christmas cake every year. She's great, because what we do, like, we give our guests the last Sunday before Christmas, like, a little slice, a little piece of Christmas cake, maybe as petit fours or whatever, or that. But just to go back to the oven thing again, like, if it's browning too much, you cover it with some tin foil or a bit of parchment. Tin foil, I think, is better. So every oven is different. But I have to emphasise the quality of the fruits.
Okay.
And that's your sultanas, your raisins, your currants. Your mixed peel is really important. If you get the whole mixed peel, it's a bit more work because you're chopping it yourself. But listen, we don't want to stress people out, because, you know, it's a stressful enough time. Everyone's kind of going through a difficult time at the
bacon,
minute. So
bacon
there's
is a nice distraction. Bacon
well,
is a nice
it is,
distraction.
And it's therapeutic.
Yes.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, there's something really relaxing. And, you know, when you start off with your raw ingredients and you see the end product, you know what goes into it. There's something beautiful and special about that.
Yeah. And says, please ask Nevin, and you've only 10 seconds to answer this, why my mince pies stick in the tin even though I butter them?
Oh,
10 seconds.
Maybe.
Well, 10 seconds.
Listen, More butter.
More butter, toast.
Right, okay. Double up on butter, or you can use a little bit of plain vegetable oil.
Now, so every Tuesday, Nevin's going to be here. So if you have questions, keep them, and you can ask Nevin next week, and we'll get some people up on air and they can chat to you as well. Nevin, looking
Brilliant.
Forward to next Tuesday already. Thanks and so much. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks to your team.
Bye. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.